From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the special edition of Inside the Parker. That's right, your Major League Baseball podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. Coming up on the show, former All-Star and World Series winner, Cecil Fielder. We caught up with him on my radio show, The Odd Couple, with Chris Broussard. Also, David Justice, who, of course, was an All-Star and a World Series winner as well. We talked with him on my radio show, The Odd Couple, with Chris Broussard. But first, here's Getting Robbed.
Batter up!
To lead off, it's Getting Robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
I get that Major League Baseball wants to have its season no matter what and no matter how far it has to be pushed back. But this whole idea of playing baseball in December and playing at a different location rather than the home team stadiums, I have a problem with that, that it would be some neutral site and they'd play in Las Vegas or L.A. or San Diego or some place in the middle of the country or something. It's so hard for me to grab hold of that. I understand that when you talk about college basketball or NFL, the Super Bowl. Baseball's different. I just can't imagine a seven-game series played at a neutral site. That is not what the game is about. The game is also not about a one-game, winner-take-all kind of deal. I know these are extraordinary times in the world, but I just don't feel comfortable with a neutral site for the World Series.
Number two.
A lot of people are saying that they hope that baseball plays at least 144 games to make the season feel legit. I'm not one of those guys. I'll take 120. I'll take 100. If everybody's playing the same schedule, 120 or 100 games, it's a legit season. This whole notion that it would be bastardized and it wouldn't be right and because they didn't play enough games, in these kind of times, you have to adjust and do whatever it's possible. If we can get a good 120 games or 100 games and get the World Series in, I'm good with that. I don't think we need to go more than that, given the circumstances. So it would be a legitimate season to me, and it should be for you, if MLB could play 120 or 100 games.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Cecil, welcome to the Odd Couple.
What's happening, guys?
Cess.
What's happening?
Hey, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you on.
It's always
how you doing, the family?
Rob Parker.
Are you? How's the family doing? Everybody okay, man? Y'all good?
Man, no, we hunkered down, man. We ain't going outside. This stuff is crazy, man.
Yeah, you got to be careful out there for sure. How do you feel? Yep. I mean, this is the day, the opening day, you know, would have been today. Rob just read a great essay about how heartbroken he is that baseball is not going on today. Do you feel the same way or is it different now that you're not, you know, not playing?
No, it's a little different since I'm not playing. But again, this is a bad situation we got going on right now. I mean, people are dying, man. And baseball is the number one concern right now. It's trying to get rid of this virus and get people healthy so we can go back to playing baseball. Because if we don't knock this thing down, it's going to be a bad summer.
Right.
Oh,
right
yes.
About that.
No doubt about it. Seth, and me talking about opening day and how I grew up, how my mom was a stickler for school and everything. But she used to, as a kid, write me a note so that I could leave school early. I was in junior high school to get home to watch the Mets opener as a kid in New York. Just to talk about you I think the story you once told me, too, was about watching Hank Aaron.
My mom, let me tell you, Rob, when I was a kid growing up in L.A., man, and, you know, the Dodgers were in the playoffs and Yep. And my team in 1979, I can remember like it was yesterday, we are family, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yes.
When I first seen Willie Stargell, man, I was a kid in the candy store. It was the most unbelievable thing that I ever seen. And, you know, him and Willie McCovey were like my two favorite first basemen, you know. So when I had an opportunity to come home from school or play sick to watch, you know, the Pirates play, I mean, that was the greatest days of all time.
Cecil, what was your favorite opening day memory as a player? What was the maybe your best game or whatever memory stands out to you?
Well, the best opening day probably was 86. The Blue Jays, I was in the starting lineup as a, you know, rookie, really. That was probably my best memory as a opening day. Every other opening day was good because I was a starter and I got to play every day. But to really think back on it, that was really my first time to really be in the starting lineup as a rookie.
How about 1997, after you guys won the World Series in 96? What about that? I remember, like, I think you were the only guy hit 300 for any team, I think, in that World Series. But what was that like? Once you're a champion, you come back, the crowd, Yankee Stadium.
Well, you know, when I came back in 97, my agent, which I should have probably not agreed to, but my agent demanded a trade, so they were booing me when I first got back.
Oh, that's
so,
right. Know. I do remember that now.
that wasn't a good time for me. No, that wasn't good, especially after the World Series I had, and then I came home and they were booing, so that wasn't a good thing.
No, you're right about that.
We are joined by World Series champion Cecil Fielder. Cecil, when they come back, you know, assuming they start playing this summer, June or July or whatever it may be, they're talking about maybe playing into December at neutral sites. So maybe a dome or going to a warm weather series regardless of what
that would be played in San Diego, right? Yeah. L.A. or Arizona or something like that. What do you think about that plan?
Well, they're gonna have to do whatever they have to do. They're gonna have to do whatever they have to do to make this be a real season. I mean, whether that's 120 games, whether that's 140 games, I don't think they're gonna be able to get 160 games out of it. But you know, when we had that shortened season in '95, when we were on strike in '94, you know, they cut the season down a little bit and made it work. So they can make it work.
How about? Playing doubleheaders, were you a fan of them? I mean, when you played, you know, doubleheaders were a part of baseball, and they still played some day-night doubleheaders where they, you know, empty the stadium to have a 1 o'clock and a 7 o'clock or something like that. Did you like doubleheaders, or normally did you get that second game off?
I didn't like the split doubleheaders.
Right.
I used to like the doubleheaders we played, you know, when they were back-to-back. The split night, day-night doubleheaders, they were terrible because that's just a whole – different animal, a whole day at the ballpark, like really a whole day. So
and that's what they're talking about, Rob, right? Split doubleheaders.
Right, because that's usually how they make them. The reason they went to that is to make money because you get two different crowds. You know, we as kids, Chris and I were both talking about it. We used to sit there at the ballpark and go there for 8 hours and not think anything of it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean as a fan?
Right, but I didn't like the split. I like the doubleheaders where we play back-to-back.
Right.
Yeah, I can imagine it for a player.
I like the back to back. And you're gonna be there eight hours anyway playing a back to back doubleheader. I mean, you really think about it.
Yeah, I think they just want that extra loot, but it'll be interesting. One last thing for me. The Red Sox, I guess the investigation is done. What do you think it's going to be, or have you heard anything about the severity of it, or not as severe as Houston? And is this going to be another open wound, or will people kind of not think about it as much because of what we're going through here?
I don't know. I think once baseball starts, everybody's going to get what they deserve. I mean, when baseball starts, they're going to let them know what time it is. I mean, I would. Because at the end of the day, you know, that's a part of the game that, you know, what they did wasn't right. I mean, I don't care what you say. What happened with the Astros was not right. I don't know as far as what they're going to come down on Boston now, but it all ain't right. And I don't know, you know, you hear, Rob, you hear that a lot of people been doing it, you know, not just them.
Right. Now, how much would that have helped you as a hitter? Obviously, you had a lot of success not knowing what was coming. But for real,
man,
if you
Rob,
knew what was
on,
coming,
man.
I know. You hit one out of Tiger Stadium. Could you hit it any further if you knew what was coming?
No, I wouldn't have hit it no further. But can you imagine knowing what's coming every at bat?
Oh, man. I can't believe I've heard people try to say
that isn't
a big advantage. It might not be an advantage for me or Rob, but for a professional hitter,
man,
you know what I mean? Come on.
Only thing I wanted to do is throw a strike. That's all.
That's it,
man.
I hear you. All right, man.
The great Cecil
Fielder.
We appreciate the time, man. Take care of yourself and your family.
Yes,
you got it. Thank you. All right,
stay well.
We are joined by two-time World Series champion, three-time All-Star, David Justice. David, welcome to the Odd Couple.
Dave.
What's up? What's up? What's up, Rob? What's up, Chris?
How are you?
What's up, man? How are you?
Rob. What's up? Hey, Rob, every time I think about you, man, I think of how you try to turn me on to Frank Sinatra.
That's right. hey,
that's
Chris.
The only brother I know.
It could have been
Frank
worse,
Sinatra.
David. It could have been worse listening to some of his musical taste on this show.
But you know what? I bought Dave the box set of Sinatra, trying to get him. I said, man, I want you to just listen to the music. I was so into Sinatra, and I was trying to get Dave to just widen his listening a little bit. And Sinatra
and
was
I
the
didn't,
man.
And it didn't work.
Well, David, where obviously today would be opening day. What's your favorite opening day memory as a player?
And we should say this, Chris. He grew up in Cincinnati, David, and was born in Cincinnati. And you know, it was a holiday in Cincinnati opening day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, my favorite, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yep.
Yeah. My favorite opening day memory is always probably, seriously, coming from being in like the fifth grade, sixth grade, they used to bring the TV into the classroom so we could watch the Cincinnati Reds.
Wow.
That was like the best.
That's how big of a day
that
it was
would be
in
fun.
Cincinnati. I mentioned that.
That
people either got the day off, Chris, or they brought TVs into work or school. That's how big opening day was.
Oh, yeah, man. Cincinnati Reds, man. I was the biggest Cincinnati Reds fan, my whole life. Even in the big leagues. When I first got into probably my first 5 or 6 years in the big leagues, I used to root for the Reds, except when we played them.
Right. I get it.
That's how much I love the Reds.
Wow.
And Dave, when you look at where baseball is and the stuff that's floating around, you know, they're trying to come up with ideas. Obviously, the coronavirus, it's day-to-day. We don't know how long this thing is going to go. There was some stuff thrown out maybe that baseball would play some doubleheaders where the first game would be 9 innings and the second game would be 7 innings.
Or both would be seven.
Or both would be seven, I'm sorry, right. What about ideas like this to try to get all the games in depending on the delay? Are you with that?
Well, I'll tell you this, Rob. There are going to be a lot of tired guys if they do that. You know, guys, that'll be something totally different. Could you imagine managing where you'd have to do a doubleheader consistently? I mean, managers would lose their mind and try and decide how to use the bullpen for both games.
Right.
It would be harder, I think, from a pitcher's perspective than probably a player's. But I think they're going to try to do – I mean, these are crazy times right now. They're just trying to figure out something to get as many games played once they start the season, which as of right now, I don't think they even know when they're going to start, right?
No, they don't. I don't think anybody knows. The NBA doesn't know. Nobody knows.
Even the NFL. There's some that think the NFL could be a delayed start. So,
well, if they play baseball, they should just start it regular. Whenever they decide to come back, just have an abbreviated season, however many games that may be. If it's 90, if it's 100, just whatever it is. And then whoever is the best after those games, just roll with it.
What do you think about the notion of playing, say you play playoff games in December? Obviously, you can't play everywhere in December. So they take the playoffs to warm weather cities. So basically neutral sites.
Neutral cities.
What do you think about that? You obviously had a lot of playoff experience playing home and away. What do you think about that at a neutral site?
Well, I'll tell you one team that would not like that is the Yankees. Because the one thing about the Yankees I thought was that made them special was the fact that they had the ultimate 10th man. That Yankee Stadium in the playoffs, that's a different crowd, man. That's a rabid bunch of people, and it mattered. I mean, when I played against the Yankees in the playoffs, it was a very tough environment to play in. And I'm sure every opposing team would love that, but I don't like the neutral site. I don't like that. And then where would it be? Who would get the dibs on that, right?
I mean, right, because you're talking about money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right? Hey. I mean, there's no way they're going to do that. I think you should start the season whenever you start it and have an abbreviated season, a shortened season, and just play a regular. There's no way in December you're going to play in New York, that's for sure. So I don't know what they're going to do about that.
No doubt about it. Now, Dave, you played in Atlanta, Cleveland, of course, the Yankees with the Yankees in New York, and the Oakland A's. And when you talk about baseball towns, I say St. Louis is the baseball capital of America. I can't get over the support. Obviously, Cincinnati's a great baseball town. Obviously, New York and Boston, and also Detroit and I'm missing another city. But there's a lot of them. What was the best place that you played? And what's one of the greatest, even if you didn't play there, greatest baseball town in America?
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know if you can play in a greater all-around baseball atmosphere from April through October than New York with the Yankees, because I lived in a Yankee neighborhood, and it just felt like baseball in the Northeast was just different, man. Like, people base their whole day around those Yankee games. And my morning routine, going to get a Starbucks and going to my local deli, I mean, people were always talking Yankees and the game. I think on the road, I got to agree with you, man. St. Louis is a great town. They've got great fan support. It's a tremendous fan base. They were the easiest fans in terms of heckling the opposing team. Like, I can't remember being heckled in St. Louis, to be honest with you. But they showed a great appreciation for their home team. And I can definitely see how guys have a great time playing for the St. Louis Cardinals.
David,
I want to say, Chris, let me just squeeze in real quick. I'm sorry. When you were talking about the New York thing, Chris and I have talked about this before. You're right about the baseball in New York from this standpoint. Even on sports talk radio, where most cities are talking about the NFL or NBA, you could turn on the radio in New York and hear them break down a Yankee game and talk about the entire game for 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. You know what
Yeah, man. It's a big deal. It's a big deal in New York. And I really got a chance to see it when I became a Yankee. I mean, the Yankee fans are some of the most knowledgeable fans that exist. I remember when Alfonso Soriano, I think he hadn't walked in about 70-something at-bats, or something like that. And all of a sudden, he got his first walk and got a standing ovation. I was lost in the dugout. Like, what's going on? Somebody said that was his first walk. How the heck does the whole stadium know
right.
that that's his first walk? I'm telling you. I tell another thing I tell about people. That in New York, let's say if I'm hitting and let's say I'm facing a right-hander with first base open, and there's a right-hander behind me. And the Yankee fans totally know what's going on. They totally know that they're going to put me on first base. That's how they're playing. They already see in the game. Whereas in other stadiums, they're like, hey, swing the bat, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
The Yankee fans are going, oh, yeah, we know what's going on. Hey, don't swing it on day. They're trying to walk you. Take the base. it's just, I was amazed by the knowledge of the Yankee fans. But, boy, when it comes to cheering on your team and really, really coming down on the opposing team, I don't think anybody does it better than the Yankee fans.
Mm. That's David Justice, 2-time World Series champion. And, man, we enjoyed your time. We appreciate you joining us. Thanks a lot.
Oh, hey, man. Dave. Hey, anytime, fellas. Hey, Rob, get with me, man.
Safe.
You know you're my boy forever.
No doubt about it. And we will, once everything clears up, man, we'll get together, man. Always.
All right, brother.
Okay, all right, brother.
All right, stay well.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Most of MLB America, and for that matter, the entire United States is of heavy hearts with what's going on with the coronavirus and the loss of life and sickness. And it has been really tough in the last few weeks in the United States and what we've gone through. But last week is when opening day would have happened. And that was March 26th on Thursday. And it just really sunk in on how tough it was that we didn't have opening day, despite on what was going on, and we understand the seriousness of it. There still were a lot of baseball fans out there who were bummed out about not having opening day. So I wrote this ode to opening day. Take a listen. I have just one word for you on this day. It's heartbroken. No opening day. I understand the circumstances. I'm not blind. I'm not crazy. And the coronavirus has stopped many things we love and admire and enjoy. But it doesn't soften the blow. Still, it's so cruel, so disappointing. Today is not just any day. Today usually marks the best sports day of the year for me and so many others. If you're old enough to even remember this, the Reds always had the traditional opening day in Cincinnati. It used to be the greatest Monday of the year because Major League Baseball would open with the Reds playing their first game, and then we'd have the NCAA champion crowned that night. This is deep-rooted. It's deep down. It's a part of our DNA. It's who we are. And it dates back early. Opening day, for me, was like my Christmas, my present. Nothing could stop my joy on this day. There was nothing more I wanted to hear than
play ball!
And it's not just me. No way, no how. It's millions of Americans. MLB sells 70 million baseball tickets a year, more than all the other sports combined. So much of my love for baseball started at an early age. And my family knew how much I loved baseball. Even my mom, who was a stickler for school and about getting your work done. But when I was in junior high school, my mom used to write a fake doctor's note for me so that I could leave school early, so that I could get home to watch the Mets on opening day. I had to see the first pitch of the season on TV. I couldn't come home in the third or fourth inning. I had to see it from the beginning. And back then, I was a Mets fan. I wasn't a reporter. I was a fan. Opening day that stands out to me the most dates back to college. 1983, I was a student at Southern Connecticut State University. Me and my three buddies, we hopped in the car. We barely had money for tickets, but we had to see Tom Seaver return to the Mets. We drove from New Haven, Connecticut. And I can remember standing up in our seats in the bleachers and watching Tom Seaver walk from the bullpen and to the mound. What a moment it was!
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kitty.
And even as I got into the sports writing business and I wasn't a Met fan anymore, I was still a baseball fan. Still blessed to work in some of the greatest baseball towns in America. In New York, I covered the Mets and the Yankees, and it was awesome to be there to be on that field where Babe Ruth once played. And John Sterling, the Yankees announcer, would give any big baseball fan goosebumps with his baseball play-by-play calls.
1-2. Swung on and driven to deep left. Toward the line. She is gone! Aaron Judge lined one right down the line. A Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
And when I left my hometown of New York to go to Cincinnati, I had a great job covering the Knicks for the Daily News, but I wanted to cover baseball. I went to Cincinnati, one of the all-time great baseball towns. And when I got there on opening day to see the spectacular that I always heard about, it's a holiday in Cincinnati. People are giving the day off. Some people... there's a parade. People take TVs into work. That's how big baseball is in Cincinnati. Don't forget, the Cincinnati Reds were the first professional team in sports history in this country. Yes, the Cincinnati Redlegs. And I was honored to go to Detroit to work at the Detroit Free Press and then the Detroit News and to cover another charter member of the American League, the Detroit Tigers. And people loved the Tigers and the old Tiger Stadium. There was nothing more amazing than the sound of the crack of a bat at Tiger Stadium and the roar of the crowd. And in Los Angeles, where I am now and work, there's nothing better than the voice of Vince Scully to get the game going.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
And as a reporter, you always wanted to get to opening day hours early, 4 hours early, to enjoy BP, take it all in, usher in a new season, see friends from the past, winter gone by, smell the fresh cut grass, hot dogs with spicy brown mustard. You can smell them from the field.
Hot dogs, hot dogs, yeah.
This has nothing to do with the other sports, but this is tradition, part of who we are, part of our fabric.
Talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque.
Damn you, coronavirus. Today was supposed to be our day. Today was supposed to be opening day, where we would stand and remove our caps all over America to honor our tradition. And we would do it too all over Canada. In the bottom of the seventh inning, hanging out with your buds or your family or your favorite girl. In the seventh inning, you know what we would do.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. I need something that's in crack.
Today is a dark day. There's no other way to look at it. There were no hot dogs. There was no beer.
Big beers! Big humongous beers!
Worst of all, there was no baseball on opening day in America. And this man here before you on Fox Sports Radio, I am just heartbroken. in the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.